My name is Pastor Brad Putnam from Augustana Lutheran Church, pastor of Augustana Lutheran Church. We'll not be holding church services until we get approval again, but we will be streaming our messages on Facebook at Augustana Lutheran Church, a Free Lutheran Congregation. More information can be found at our website, www.augustanaduluth.com. I want to encourage you during this time of uncertainty that you can rely on the promises of God. I would like to share with you this morning a promise from Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." We're not to be afraid. We're not to get discouraged. God is always with us. That's a promise of God that we can rely on. The goodness of God has not been canceled. Wake up each morning and know that God loves you, and rejoice that He's with you each and every day. I pray that you will be blessed by these messages, and if you are able and moved by the Spirit to give to our ministry, please mail your donations to Augustana Lutheran Church at 3251 Midway Road, Duluth, Minnesota, 55810. And after we get started with our services down the road, and if you are looking for a church, you are always welcome to come and join us. Everything is done in God's time. This message today that I'll be talking about is about the Holy Week. This is the week that Jesus is hailed as King. He prays in the garden, he's arrested, put on trial, crucified, dead and buried, and then he rose from the dead on the third day. Let's please pray. Father in heaven, our almighty God, we come before you in Jesus' precious and holy name, asking that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, our souls, and our minds, that we may grow in your grace, in your knowledge, in your wisdom and understanding. We ask that you would fill each person hearing this message and reading this message with your very presence in a mighty and powerful way. We ask this in Jesus' precious name, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Our text this morning is from John chapter 19, verses 23 through 30, which describes the death of Jesus. The title of the message is called The Garden and the Cross. John chapter 19, verses 23 through 30. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top to in one piece. And they said therefore among themselves, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, 'They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.' Therefore the soldiers did these things. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, 'I thirst.' Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there. They filled a sponge with sour wine, put on it hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Amen. Christ's sacrifice was what God desired and what our sins required. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, we read, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin. And so death spread to all, because all have sinned." And Romans 3:23 tells us, "For we all sin and fall short of the glory of God." The word of God is true. No one can deny they are without sin. Romans 3:10 says, "There is none righteous, no, not even one." The result of sin is that man cannot come before a just and holy God. We were all destined to be separated from God forever. This separation means that hell awaits everyone. It was our destiny. But God's grace and love was so great that he provided a way for us to escape our destiny. The way is Jesus Christ. The way for us to be right with God and to have peace with God is through faith in Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." And in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, we read, "By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." The night before Jesus was betrayed and taken before Pilate, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus took his disciples. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 38 and 39, we read, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." Can you imagine the heaviness that Christ felt? His soul was grieved to the point of death. Verse 39 says, "He went a little beyond them and fell on his face, praying and said, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as thou will.'" The cup represents the cross, and its contents are the sins of the world. The cup is the very wrath of God that was intended for us. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, we go on and read that Jesus said, "Keep watching and praying, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Who was going to tempt them? Satan was. He was there. Jesus had taken Peter, James, and John with him to the garden. They were to watch as he prayed, but they slept instead. Jesus, holy, harmless, and separate from sinners, was made sin for us. The sins of mankind were put on him. It is impossible for us to imagine the heaviness of the sins of the world being put on Jesus. But that is what happened. And that is what his mission was, to die for our sins. In the garden, he prayed so hard. Prayer is hard work. In Luke chapter 22, verse 44, it says, "And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood, falling down upon the ground. Prayer is hard, not intended to be easy. Satan will work to block prayer. Satan attacked Jesus. Satan attacks us, and Satan attacks the church of God. Jesus, in his humanity, prayed that if it were God's will, the sins of the world would not come upon him. This is where Satan was attacking him. This is why he did not want his disciples to be tempted. Jesus overcame Satan. In Matthew chapters 26, 42, Jesus said, "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, thy will be done." Jesus was going to do the will of the Father. God's will comes first. God's will should always come first. Jesus accepted the weight of the sins of the world that he would bear on the cross. Jesus paid the price for our sins that we could not pay. There's a verse in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, which says this, "And he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for also for those of the whole world." Propitiation means sacrifice, atonement. Jesus died to atone for our sins. He was a sacrifice for our sins. And he died for everyone. No gospel writer ever describes the death of Jesus, but we're given the words between the Father and the Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus spoke seven times while he hung dying on the cross. First, he said in Luke chapter 23, verses 34, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." The first thing he was asking for was forgiveness, not only for those putting him to death, but for all mankind. He was asking for forgiveness for us and for you to be forgiven. What a loving God and Savior we have. Secondly, in Luke 23, verse 43, Jesus tells the thief on the cross, "Truly I say to you today, you shall be with me in paradise." This response is for all who believe in Jesus as their Savior and Lord. We are saved totally by God's grace through faith in Christ Jesus, and it is a gift of God. If you believe in Jesus, you overcome the world. You will be with him in paradise. It says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 5, "Who is the one that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" And then 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 says this, "To be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord." When one dies, knowing and loving Jesus, their spirit is immediately with the Lord. Immediately. Third, in John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27, Jesus says, "Woman, behold your son." And then to the disciple, he says, "Behold your mother." All who believe in Jesus are one body, one church, with Jesus the head. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 27 goes on and says this, "Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it." Everyone who believes in Jesus as their Savior, Lord, and as the Son of God is a member of the body of Christ, and Christ is the head. The fourth time Jesus spoke, in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, he said, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus, in his humanity, was bearing the sins of the world. What pain he was suffering for me and for you. This statement was personal back to his Father and to our Father. In the last few minutes of his life, Jesus spoke three more times in succession. Fifth, Jesus, in John 19, verse 28, Jesus said, "I thirst." This is when he was enduring physical pain and spiritual pain. He was to fulfill the prophecy from Psalm 69, verse 21, where it said that they gave him vinegar to drink. We can give Jesus a drink today by giving to those we come across with that have need, by sharing what we have and giving and fulfilling their need. The sixth time Jesus spoke was in John chapter 19, verse 30. He said, "It is finished." What this means, it is completed or ended. It means Jesus' suffering was over, and also his redemptive work was eternally done. Simply put, his work of our redemption was finished. Jesus earlier said he completed his work in his high priestly prayer to the Father in John 17, 4. He said, "I have glorified thee on the earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do." Will we be able to say that we accomplished the work which God has given us to do? Will you be able to say that you have accomplished the work which God has given you to do? Because God has a purpose for each and every one of us. It was done. He had paid the price for our sins. We can do nothing to add to his sacrifice. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, this is, "For even the Son of Man came, not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Faith in Jesus is a source of our eternal salvation. Jesus said in John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." He is the way. God wants us to believe in Jesus, his Son, as our Savior and Lord, for us to have eternal life. When we believe in Christ by faith, God, by his grace, gives us eternal life. Jesus' final statement on the cross was in Luke chapter 23, verse 46, where it says, "And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." All that we do should be committed to God the Father, our Father, all that we do. We continually fall short, but we have a loving God who loves us beyond our understanding. When we sin and fall short of God, we need to confess our sins and ask for his forgiveness and stay in fellowship with him. The word of a dying person are the most honest and powerful and revealing. Many do not come to accept Christ as Savior until they are dying. There's a war phrase that was often used, that there are no atheists in foxholes. Many come to know Christ when they are near death. People who live for God die wonderfully. People who live for themselves die miserably. It is, always has been, and always will be a fact of life. God can do so much in a short time. Jesus can come back for us at any time. We need to be ready. You are only ready if you love and believe in Jesus with all your heart, your soul, and mind. It is important, it is urgent that you believe in Christ by faith and live for God today. Father in heaven, Almighty God, we just praise you and thank you, Father, for your great love for us, for the grace that you've shown us in bringing Jesus Christ to pay the price for our sins, and for the Holy Spirit in convicting us of our sins and revealing the Word of God to us, that we can know Jesus Christ as the Son of God, our Lord and our Savior. Father, we just thank you, and we pray that each person today that hears these words and or reads these words will be moved to greater love with you and to accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. In your precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.